Hello. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to spend an entire session in here with the big people. That's really exciting. But unfortunately, I think that maybe the last 10 years in the mind's room might have taken its toll, and I might not be able to concentrate fully without bathing myself in Play-Doh and Coatie. But I am going to try. And it's with an element of sympathy for people in a similar position that I promise not to be long. But mostly it's because I want us to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father more than we hear mine. Our dream for this camp is that it's going to create a small oasis in time where we can all take time with God and ask Him to remind us why we're here, why as individuals we have been created and what we're doing here in this body, and what He wants to achieve through each one of us. I'm going to begin by asking a few questions. Now, you don't have to answer them, but just think about them. Does anybody experience frequent feelings of guilt? Do any of you here experience the feeling that you're not doing enough, maybe? Or that you're not strong in the area that you've ended up in, maybe what you're studying, or your career, or in your marriage, or even the area of service in the church? How many of you are faking it till you make it? You say yes to things because it represents the person that you want to be, but maybe that you're not yet. You want to say yes because it takes you closer to being the dream you. Does anybody feel close to burnout, or has anybody burnt out? Be it in work or church or school, marriage, do you feel like life is just sometimes this crazy highway and you're just rushing through it, surviving, you've got things passing you at speeds that you can't even recognise what passed you, but you're so desperate to take it in? I struggle enormously with this concept of you can have it all. Out there at the moment we are plagued with many areas where we're just swamped with images, with stories of how we can have it all. Everything is bellowing to us. We can be it all. We can reinvent ourselves. Just plan better. You can do it. You can have the perfect kids. You can make the perfect lunchboxes. Look here. Here's my Pinterest. Here's my blog. This is how I do it. You can do it too. Because I did it, why are you not doing it? And it all sounds nice. And I think it's born generally from a place of excitement and, I don't know, empowerment, but actually it means that we all just end up heaping judgment on ourselves because we can't possibly measure up to all of these things. It's like we invent this person called everyone else, and we this person is made up of all the people who are best in their areas, and so you see the best person at the lunchboxes, or you see the best person in your career field, and you read all about them, and you see their pictures. And that just forms that part of everybody else's personality. And we're never going to measure up to that, and we were never supposed to. I think that is why we can sometimes live with an awful nagging in our souls, wondering why we're not measuring up, but still hoping that satisfaction is just around the corner. You know, how many of us scroll just one more time? You know, what if somebody's just put something on my Twitter feed? What if there's just this next article? I'm sure. No, that sounds amazing. That blog article. I'm totally just going to be, because that will answer my questions. It says so in the title. I think maybe we've forgotten why we're here, or maybe we forget from time to time. I think we can easily fall for the lie that we exist for our own satisfaction and our own fulfillment. We think our actions or lack of actions impacts only on our satisfaction. But there is such hope in Christ for any of us who identify with any of that. I'm going to read Ephesians 1, verses 11 to 14. That's Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory, not for our satisfaction, not for our glory, not for our kind of general success, but to the praise of his glory. The New Living Translation puts it like this, verse 14, the Spirit of God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. See, when we realise that we exist to glorify God, the rest of our lives tend to fall into place. When we take honest stock of our lives, our talents, the ones we actually have, not the ones we're bearing and not the ones that we pretend we've got, our dreams, our desires, our passions, we see that the only path to true satisfaction is actually surrendering them to the praise of his glory. We offer ourselves, that's all that he has created us to be, to him, so that he can be glorified. And many of you who have known me, who've known me in the past, might know that I didn't arrive on this earth with a desire to be a pastor's wife. In fact, it was literally just days before we moved to Stellenbosch, which was Paul's first role as pastor, that I was totally converted to the idea by the Holy Spirit working in me. I was so concerned by what I saw, or what I thought I saw, in church leadership. I was scared of being controlled, of being judged by people who didn't really know me, and I knew this would happen because I did it. I was scared of being boring and no longer being allowed to dance around to 80s classics in my kitchen with my kids, in case it was perceived as ungodly. I was real concerned. But I was really concerned of having to do more than I thought I could do. I was really scared of having to attend all the meetings, of having to kind of do things that I had no interest in or passion for, just because that's what the pastor's wife does. I was afraid that people would think more of me than they should. I was afraid people were going to come to me for advice just because I was Paul's wife and by default I knew stuff. And actually that they were going to be shortchanged because there were actually people better off to lead them in the Lord than I was. And I was petrified our kids would lose out to the church and become resentful. Much of my fear was born out of my own spiritual ill health. A few months prior to our big move, Paul and I were tired. We had weight on our shoulders at church. Paul was leading three businesses. He was running three businesses. And we had the pressures of three small children. And one day, Paul came home from a meeting. Well, I say day, it was quite late at night. And I, having done yet another bedtime on my own, was in a state. Some of you might know what kind of state that was. and I felt I was totally spent in every area, but that life was still demanding so much more of me, and I had no idea how to give it. We sat and spoke that night about our motivations behind the various commitments in our life, and I soon realised that so much of what I was doing was dead works. There was so little faith or love involved in many of my yeses. I'd been going through the motions. I looked like I was praising the Lord, but actually I was mostly saving face. I didn't want people to think less of me. Mostly, actually, I didn't want people to think less of Paul. And because I figured, you know, an errant wife wouldn't reflect well on this blue-eyed boy. But I did what I thought I should, with no real question as to whether God was truly being glorified in my life. Through the decision to take on the role in Stellenbosch, I was forced to evaluate what I was here for. Was God worth it? Was the church worth my life? Would I always feel spent but never feel that anyone was any the richer for it? I knew Paul was made to lead, and I knew that I didn't believe in divorce, so somehow I had to find my place in that. was a real thing. The Holy Spirit, through the Son, was a constant friend. And although his work was painful, I realized that I had misunderstood so much of what it was to follow him, and so much of what I'd been doing for him was done without faith and therefore had not been pleasing. He spoke to me prophetically over and over again, on occasions through some of you, thank you very much, about learning to be myself. What was I good at? What did I have faith for? My picture of Boss's wife was an knee-length pizza skirt, a manicure every week, ready for serving tea and biscuits in a perfectly clean home, where my darling husband would solve the world's problems. But the problem was that all skirts, whether they're pleated or not, pass on me. So have it there. My house mostly looks like it's just seen the eye of a hurricane, and I find manicures terrifying. I mean, I don't know how people remain calm while they're holding hands with a stranger looking at them for an inordinate period of time. It's something I did not have faith for. But to be myself, that was exciting, even. It was fun. It sounded a bit wishy-washy at first, but it's because I didn't really know what it meant. It wasn't a new age kind of just find out who you are. It was go to God and find out who you are. And so I began to feel freedom to assess every decision or proposal in my life from a place of, well, God, is that you who you made me to be? Do I have faith that I'm the one you're calling into this position? Or would my taking on this role display somebody else? Would I so resent this role because I'm not yet mature enough for it that your name would be tarnished by my bad attitude? And I've continued in this vein for nearly 3 years, and I can honestly say that I am now so much more content in my shoes than I ever have been. I'm possibly busier at times than I have ever been, and much of what I'm involved in kind of looks the same from outside. The difference is that I'm learning to make the decisions according to faith because God is showing me who he made me to be. It's a process. I'm learning to make those decisions, and I'm fortunate enough to have been able to stay away from the pleated skirt. Well, you're all fortunate. Ain't no pleated skirt looking good on this body. Anyway. The insecurities are still there. There are still the same insecurities that stopped me from asking those questions in the first place are still very much there. So I've been in situations where I've said no to things that I've felt that people have expected me to say yes to. And insecurity is a strange beast, and I'll never know whether people really were expecting me to or not, but in those moments you feel it's so true, and people are just so disappointed in you, and, you know, people aren't that interested. That's what I find funny about insecurity, isn't it perverse? That you're so worried about what people think, but you're assuming that they're thinking of you. But anyway, I don't know. That's a whole new topic. Why I stick to my notes. But through all those moments, I found the Holy Spirit to be so gentle and kind. And there's obviously been times when I've said no and I should have said yes. And it's okay, you know, like the world's not going to end. And he will minister and he will teach me through those. And it's been just the most happy, actual joy being with him, even in the hard times. Like that is where I've experienced the joy, is listening to him speak to me and allowing me to be me. So with all that in mind, we want to take time in the next 24 hours to ask God how we as individuals live for the praise of his glory. And we're likely to all arrive at answers in different ways and by different means, but something that's inspired me practically is the concept of a mission statement. So I'll share a bit of that with you now, just in case it inspires you to. Rabbi Zacharias is a Christian apologist and speaker, and he speaks on this concept. He notes that we likely all know the mission statement of our corporation or company, or at least we understand the necessity for a corporation or company to have a mission statement, or one for when you're starting a business or something. Why does your company exist? What gap in the market is it filling? What would be missing from the world if it were not here, etc. And while we can recite the mission statement for our companies, few of us have stopped to search for our own personal mission statements, which might explain our perpetual feelings of failure and sinking in this great sea of opportunity and liberality. We have no means of real evaluation because we have limited and undefined means of determining what we were supposed to do in the first place. If you don't know what your goal is, how can you possibly evaluate your efficacy? We are faced with masses of distractions and questions every day. Do we say yes to the coffee date? Do we say yes to ladies' camp? Do I join a life group? Do I study accounting like the teacher said, or do I go for the other desire in my heart, which is to become a sports coach? Do I go to bed now, or do I watch one more episode on Netflix in the name of being social? What would God have us do, and why? What is his context for our life? We need a worldview tailored to the call of God in our lives through which we process these mundane and not so mundane questions. Because some answers aren't going to be what we expect. Some answers will be different between people. Some answers will be different from day to day. And that's the problem with religion. We apply these big blanket answers to questions which don't actually have blanket answers. And you see that all over the Gospels. You see Jesus doing things that nobody expected him to do because they hadn't fully understood the character of God. And so the Netflix question, maybe for some of you, you should stay and you should watch another episode because God has called you to befriend these people. For most of us, it will probably be no. If you're asking the question, probably no. Because it's going to affect your sleep, and then that's going to affect your mission statement for the next day. You're not going to be the best worker or the best mom or whatever. So you need a lens through which to view these questions. And we're going to explore this more tomorrow. And Kaz and Greg are going to give us a few handles on defining some of this and taking it further. We're going to create space where God can speak to us personally, and I encourage you to be open to the Spirit, taking time to let him open your eyes. Some of it will doubtless be exhilarating, and some might be painful, but let's not be afraid of who he has made us to be. He's just asked us for us. I'm going to close in prayer. And then we're going to use this time of worship to begin reflection. And we trust him to begin his work in us. Father, thank you for your creativity in each one of us. Please guide us over the next 24 hours to a place where we each understand more of our individuality and how we can point that which you have made us towards the praise of your glory.